Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, whatever time it is that you're listening to this broadcast. Welcome to The Watchman. This week, as we continue to delve into the issues that are of importance to Bible prophecy and that are happening in the world right now. And of course, considering the big event that is happening in Israel, we are still going to dedicate a lot of time to it because there have been a number of interesting developments that have come up that continue to point us in a certain path of Bible prophecy, a path that we have been talking about here quite often, and I'm sure that you'd be interested in hearing. Now, as always, I'm joined by Evangelist John Paul Akena, and we are going to be having a rundown of some of the events that are happening here, and then we continue to dig left, right, and see how it ends up. Now, one thing I understand about this war right now, as it currently stands, is Israel is continually being isolated, slowly by slowly, isolated in as far as popularity of their cause across the world is concerned. It seems the Palestinians are winning the propaganda war, hands down, at least in many parts of the world. And then the apparent only ally of Israel right now, which has been America, is actually a very lukewarm ally, and they are kind of dilly-dallying over everything they are doing, because I know for sure that America can stop this war if they wanted to. For instance, if they had an administration that was interested in stopping the war and stopping the assault on Israel by Palestinians, which really is the cause of all of this, people want to go back further and say, you know, people are living in an open air prison, whatever it is you think. But this whole scenario was started by people breaking through from Gaza and coming and killing in excess of 1,000 people from Israel. Not all of them Israelis. Some of them tourists from abroad, some Americans and so on. But America can stop this war if they really, really wanted to. First of all, they would do it by cutting off aid to Gaza, because they are still giving aid to Gaza. And actually, they've just increased it by 100 million. They've announced an 100 million humanitarian aid to Gaza. Now, of course, it's not going to be used for humanitarian purposes. Mm. It is going to be used for everything else apart from that. And this has been the story of what has been happening in Gaza. They get money, Hamas share it out, make sure their families are comfortable. And then they, you know, use the rest of it for building bunkers into Israel and providing ammunition and so on. Then they can also enforce existing sanctions against Iran, which sanctions were put in place by Donald Trump. Now, Biden did not have the ability to come and say he's lifting the sanctions, in as much as I'm sure he would have wanted to, but he just eased on them, so they are not enforcing the sanctions. Mm. So basically, Iran has been selling 2 million barrels of oil a day and have increased their revenue, which was previously down to $4 billion, their reserves, and now have gone way above $100 billion because they are openly trading, you know, in so many things. So America has found a way of somehow not removing the sanctions and yet removing them. The other thing America can do is actually, they've been wanting to give aid to Israel, which is a very popular thing in the American Congress. Mm. But they are also dilly-dallying about that, because guess what the Democrats went and did? They went and tied aid to Israel, which they know, of course, is going to pass unanimously.
Yes.
And they tied it with aid to Ukraine and other things which are of importance to them.
Yes.
Now, of course, the entirety of the America, at least a lot of the public are tired of the constant Ukraine war and America giving hundreds of billions of dollars to Ukraine, and they don't see why it's that important. So now, coming up with a package, another package for Ukraine, would be very unpopular.
Mm.
But now that they know that a package to Israel is going to be very popular, they have decided to put it within one bill.
Mm.
And so that those who didn't want Ukraine and want Israel is kind of forced to do both.
Mm.
So it's just playing really political games there. And the thing about it is it delays the would-be help to Israel. And I'm sure as any other country in war, Israel could use that money. But the Americans are going to play around. Yet the Palestinian man actually is going very fast. Mm. It's going immediately. No contest.
Yes.
It's the Israeli money which is becoming under a bit of contest. And now that's from, now with friends like America, who needs enemies?
Yes.
Okay. Then also the liberal media in America and around the world really are gobbling up Hamas propaganda, falling for it hook, line, and sinker, and broadcasting it across the world, and they are stirring up antipathy towards Israel unlike anything before. A clear example is that one. I think we talked about it last week of the hospital.
Yes.
It turns out that the Hamas and their propaganda say that Israel bombed the hospital and 500 people died. Now people get angry, emotional. Then there are all these demonstrations, anti-Israel demonstrations across the world.
Yes.
Then it turns out the whole thing is a lie.
Yes.
First of all, it was not from Israel.
Yes.
It was one of Hamas rockets which was intended for Israel, which somehow failed and came and hit the hospital. And then it not even hit the hospital.
Yes.
It fell in the parking yard of the hospital, and I think about 10 people died.
Hmm.
Now, Hamas said that was Israel, and 500 people died. So it's all lies.
Yes.
But you know, as has always been said before, that the first casualty of war is the truth.
Yes.
Because everybody has to win somehow propaganda. And Israel is losing that propaganda war right now. I'm not so sure, though, they will be entirely distraught about it, because I'm sure the war they want to win is the one to destroy Hamas completely.
Yes.
And they have already killed the commander.
Yes.
The man who masterminded the attack on October 7th, the actual mastermind, the commander, has already been killed in a bunker by Israeli shelling. So I'm sure that's the victory they want. Hamas can go on with their propaganda. And also, it is important to note that the Hamas rockets are not all falling in Israel.
Yes.
470 of them have actually, they have fired about 7,000 now altogether.
Mm.
470 of them have fallen within Gaza region, and have killed so many Palestinians because they have not been launched properly. And of course, all that will be ultimately blamed on Israel. And then I also found out that the American ship or the aircraft carrier, which was brought to the Mediterranean coast, wasn't exactly about helping Israel. But actually, it was to provide cover for American forces, which are in Iraq and Syria.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with support for Israel. So, in a way, Israel is totally isolated. But remember what we said last time? That's what the Bible prophecy says.
Yes.
Because it has to be very clear. Before the war takes off, it has to be clear that America is not with Israel. Why is that? Because we know the result of it is going to be a result. If it is the Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38 and 39 war, we know for sure that people are going to be slaughtered by Israel. Loads of people are going to be slaughtered by Israel on the mountains of Israel. There are going to be corpses which will take 7 months to bury. So now we know that the victory for Israel has got to come in a way that America is not going to share in the glory.
Yes.
God wants it for himself, because he states there and says that that's the whole world will know. That I am the Lord, and I'm the Lord, and I'm in Israel.
Yes.
And then he says, even Israel shall not profane my name any longer.
Mm.
Because they have to be in a place where they are completely, almost helpless.
Yes.
And then something happens, and then the victory comes to them, and their enemies are slaughtered right there. So now that's one of, those are some of the, so I'm sure America, if they really wanted, they could end this war. But they don't. They really don't. And anyway, let's go ahead. What do you have to say?
Yes. Now, Israel is so much intensifying their airstrikes across Lebanon, because right now they have realized that there's so much threat which they have right now is not from Gaza, but so much from Lebanon and Syria. Then let me just say the northern part of Israel, north and northeast. So they are so much intensifying there's airstrikes in Lebanon and in Syria, of course, as they maintain the one in Gaza. So that's one thing which I've seen, because the Bible prophecy says that the war, they'll come on the mountains of Israel from afar north. So that's the area where right now we are seeing the war being diverted to. And then also, you spoke about Biden. Now, there's something which he spoke about is, one thing I'm seeing about him is like what the scripture says, that if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who shall prepare for war? Because he comes into Israel and visited Israel last week, and then says, I'm standing with Israel, I'm pro-Israel. And then also he goes ahead and then also says, I think on in the weekend, that he's Zionist. That means he's like with Israel. But to the other end, he comes in and says that Israel should postpone the ground offensive. Now we know that this war, Israel has to take it on the neck and has to go and do the ground offensive. But of course, Biden and the administration is saying that no, they have to hold on and they have to listen to us first to wait for any command from us. Now this is really double-edged, and it's not making them to really make a clear action towards the ground offensive. But of course, the defense minister came out and said that their delay on the ground offensive is not according to anything about America or whatever, but for them, they are waiting for the perfect moment. What I see also, they want to get out all their hostages and people who have been held hostage. Then also, you spoke about decreasing propaganda war, which Israel is losing. Now, when you see all around the world right now, there is pro-Palestinian protest all around. There's been over 100,000 riots in London, pro-Palestinian riots in London. Now, this, if you just see it, because when the war began, many of the nations started by saying, oh, this is very bad, and Israel has a right to go and defend themselves. But right now, as the war is continuing, and even with the propaganda war which Gaza and Hamas is winning, it's causing the whole world to shift support from Israel towards Palestinians. And they are saying that now the Palestinians are fueling riots all around the world. And this has actually been very, very much, and I'm seeing in New York, there's been that riots. Also, one of the things which has happened is Israel, because of their strikes in Lebanon and in Syria, they have managed to kind of deter Iran shipping. Because one of the thing they did is they destroyed last week, I think on Thursday, they destroyed Aleppo airport in Syria. Because that they know that those are key points where Iran uses to transport and ship their ammunition and supplies it all around the Middle East and across Israel, the borders of Israel. Then as well, in the weekend, they went and destroyed Damascus airport. So this is where the shaping of the war is going, and that's where I'm actually seeing also. And you spoke about one of these guys, someone who really was spearheading all the October 7th terrorist attack. And Israel has actually formed a unit which is going to be looking and searching out all these people who are mastermind and behind the October 7th. And that special unit they have actually been doing it. And if you've said that the real person who was on behind it has been taken off, then this is now where we're seeing it also going. Yes.
Okay. Now, there are also some other things here I wanted to mention. First of all, we said here, Hezbollah says that they have 100,000 missiles,
yes,
all pointing in the direction of Israel. Now, Hezbollah, of course, being in Lebanon, which is north of Israel,
yes,
and they share a border, saying 100,000 missiles, all of them. Now, the difference between, but I'll tell you this, they even said that they can fire 10,000 missiles a day for 10 straight days. And now if they did that, that would force Israel to go into shutdown mode.
Yes.
And all civilians will be told to go into bunkers and so on, because they cannot contain 10,000 missiles a day. Even their Iron Dome technology would be totally, totally overwhelmed. And then also what you have to know that so far, all the missiles that have gone into Israel since October 7th have been 7,000.
Yes.
Now, if it is true that these people can put 10,000 a day for 10 straight days, that would really overwhelm Israel. And then also, the ones which are coming from Gaza, have, because of course Gaza has a lot more protection.
Yes.
And many of their missiles, when they are getting the ammunition from Iran, because of the blockade,
yes,
which Israel has put on Gaza, it has to come in small pieces. So yes, they actually manufacture very relatively substandard missiles, and theirs have very short distance. That's, yes, why some of them are even falling inside Gaza.
Yes.
They are not even crossing over, yes, into the border. But those which do, most of them end around Tel Aviv and Wata, yes, and other, that side of Israel. They don't go that
beyond
far. But now, the ones which come from Hezbollah, because Hezbollah has had a direct connection with Iran for a long, yes, time, the one which those ones would be, would have the range that would take them all the way to Jerusalem and even, yes, beyond. Mm. Basically, they could cover the whole of Israel. So, yes, now, that would really, really overwhelm Israel if it were to happen. And it would, of course, overwhelm their Iron Dome protection. And, well,
yes,
and in response, Israel has already cleaned up, told the people who live in that northern part,
yes,
to depart for quite a,
actually,
distance.
About 28 communities, yeah, have been told to relocate.
Yes.
Yes.
So you can see Israel is more scared of what is coming from Hezbollah,
yes,
than what is coming from Gaza.
Gaza.
And then also, these people are really, really trying to overwhelm us, because they found about 40 Hamas terrorists,
yes,
who had sneaked into the West Bank.
Yes.
And we are preparing to, you know, to cause all sorts of alarm. So, yes, now, what is being planned? Hezbollah comes in with their rockets.
Yes.
Israel is already overwhelmed by that.
Yes.
Then there is Gaza, which, of course, might be limited because of all the aerial bombardments that have been going on.
Yes.
And then the Syria.
Yes.
Then now, then these people who have also entered Israel.
Yes.
These terrorists now also start slaughtering. So, yes, that somehow they stretch the Israeli army thin. That is, that I believe is has got to be some of the things they have in mind.
Yes.
Then also, China has moved 6 warships to the Middle East. And China has been warning Israel,
yes,
and speaking very harshly towards Israel and saying that their retaliation has exceeded just getting justice for October 7th.
Yes.
It says now it's some kind of affront,
yes,
on the Palestinians in Gaza.
Mm.
Then Russia, on the other hand, is a bit quiet, but of course with their support is with the Palestinians. Mm. There is no doubt about that.
Yes.
Then there's been a lot of threats and counter threats. First of all, Iran said that if Israel starts their ground offensive, they will suffer an earthquake.
Yes.
Then now Israel Minister of Economy says that Iran's Ayatollahs will be wiped off the face of the earth if Hezbollah attacks Israel.
Mm.
Because, of course, Hezbollah cannot attack unless they get the go-ahead from Iran. And now he knows the go-ahead is coming from the Ayatollahs.
Yes.
Now, there are decisive ways. You know, you remember that guy who was killed by America,
yes,
Donald Trump's army? It's called Hosseini or something.
Soleimani. Yes.
Now, Soleimani was apparently untouchable, you know?
Yes.
Untouchable, nobody could touch him. And what America, Donald Trump, blew him to pieces.
Yes.
They just had to recover, to know what his body was. They found a ring,
yes,
which they knew used to have on his finger. And then now Iran was threatening. Then Trump said that we know where the Ayatollah is.
Yes.
If you touch any American soldier, we are going to blow up the Ayatollah.
Yes.
That was the end of it.
Yes.
Yeah. The Iranians kept quiet because they know America has the ability,
yes,
to actually go and single out one person,
yes,
and blow him up,
yes,
like that.
Mm.
And Trump threatened that you dare touch, because they said the American soldiers here, we are going to, he said, you dare touch any one of them.
Yes.
We are, next person on the line is the, yes, Ayatollah himself.
Yes. Mm.
Now that sorted everything.
Mm.
Now, of course, for this to happen, it requires a democratic administration in America.
Yes.
Because for them, of course, they are anti-Israel, but have to pretend to be pro-Israel,
yes,
because America is supposed to be pro-Israel. And so that. Now, this guy, Israel's Minister of Economy, Nir Barkat, says that the Ayatollahs are going to be wiped off the face of the earth if Hezbollah attacks Israel.
Mm.
Then he said, in quotes, we shall go to the head of the snake, which is Iran. That means that threats and counter threats.
Yes.
Iran is threatening.
Yes.
Israel is threatening.
Yes.
Let's forget about Hezbollah.
Yes.
Now, if Hezbollah comes for us, we know where 90% of their weapons are coming from Iran.
Yes.
So we know where it's all coming
from. The head of the snake.
So we shall go to the head of the snake, which is Iran.
Yes.
Now, what I'm saying is that if they actually go to the head of the snake, in Iran,
yes,
then officially that will have started the Gog and Magog war.
Yes.
Now there shall be no looking back.
Yes, actually, one of the things which Iran had plotted very well, and it has been in process for this plotting, and that is its proxies which are all around Israel. Now, of course, we know the one of Hamas in Gaza. Then we know of the Houthis in Yemen. And actually, amazingly, the Houthis, they sent and fired rockets and drones into Israel, but they were intercepted by American warships. And then there is the one of, let me just get some of them. In Saudi Arabia, there is the Quds Force, which are still supported by Iran. Now, Iran supports the Quds Force, and the Quds Force leader actually went into Lebanon just yesterday. And then also the Hezbollah, which of course is in Lebanon. Then we have 17 different militia organizations in Syria, and all these are supported by Iran. Then, of course, in Iraq, the same militias which are there. Now, Iran had plotted that all of its proxies should just fire at Israel, led by Hezbollah. Now, Israel economic leader says that once that is done, they are not just going to just only fight these proxies. They will go straight to the head of the snake, which is Iran. And that, like the way you said, it will have started this war, which is actually forming. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ezekiel 38, verse 8. After many days you will be visited. In the latter years, you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel. And the mountains of Israel, of course, talking about the north, mostly coming from the Golan Heights, but also Judea and Samaria, where the mountains of Judea and Samaria, and says, which had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. And you will ascend, coming like a storm. Now this actually, the storm, you can almost see it happening. And it says, covering the land like a cloud.
Yes.
You can almost see it happening, where 10,000 missiles are fired
at Israel.
At Israel on a daily basis. And then there are all these other militias which are now gathering around the north of Israel, including the Houthis and all the other, you know, forces. Somewhere, some in Syria, some in also in the north of Israel, or more, and then some in Lebanon. And then it says, you will ascend like a storm, covering the land like a cloud, and all your troops and many peoples with you. Thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. You will say, okay, we read that the other time, and let me go straight to verse, that was Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 8. Then let me go straight to chapter 39. And it says, and you, son of man, prophesy to Gog and say, thus says the Lord, behold, I am against you, Gog, and the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and I will turn you around and lead you on, bringing you up from the far north and bringing you against the mountains of Israel. Now, when this war happens, a number of things are going to happen. The victory for Israel is going to come in a number of ways. The first one, actually, you can get it in Ezekiel 38 and verse 19. It says that, for in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath, I have spoken. Surely in that day, there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. Now, this means actually a great earthquake. It may even mean a tsunami. So that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, and the beasts of the field, all creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth, shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. Now, this is talking really about a very major earthquake. Mm-hmm. In that part. Now, for some reason, it seems to be something just to disorganize,
yes,
all the forces that are coming up against, that will be coming up against Israel. Now, if they involve even China, as you see,
yes,
if they involve Russia, if they involve Turkey, which of course is a bit constrained by their membership of NATO, and that's why they are kind of lukewarm, as long as America, who are the leaders of NATO, appear to be on the side of Israel, then somehow Turkey has to be a bit constrained, but you know where their heart is. Of course you do. Now, verse 21 of Ezekiel 38 says, that's the first thing that will happen, I've told you, is going to be a big, big earthquake. And then God says that it shall come to pass at that time when Gog comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury will show in my face. Now, this is going to be major. It's going to be a major judgment of God when it does happen. Now, verse 21 talks about the second thing that will happen at that time. He says, I will call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, says the Lord. Every man's sword will be against his brother.
Yes.
Now, this is very interesting in that so many countries in this heat of the moment are going to form some kind of conglomerate to come against Israel.
Yes.
So many of them.
Yes.
Even countries which have problems with each other.
Yes.
For instance, Saudi Arabia now seems to be more willing to join
the war
on the side of Iran and Palestine, which wasn't the case before.
Mm.
Now, others will come. So there will be the Shia Muslims led by Iran, of course, the Sunni Muslims led by Saudi Arabia, and all of them come.
Yes.
Some, all of them, even from different parts, even in Asia.
Yes.
I see countries like Indonesia, Pakistan, and all of them, and even Turkey. But those people have their differences.
Yes.
They are not united on anything else apart from their hatred of Israel.
Yes.
So it is that single uniting force, their antipathy, towards Israel, that is going to bring them to the war.
Mm.
And then they come. And then there is no clear leadership.
Mm.
There is no clear command force. Who is leading this war?
Yes.
Then the scripture says that God will turn one man's sword against the other.
Mm.
Now, what I see happening here is that these people come, the Sunnis, the Shias, and all the others coming, all of them against Israel.
Mm.
But at some stage, they turn against each other,
mm-hmm.
and then they start slaughtering each other.
Yes.
And that is how I interpret this verse, certainly.
Mm.
And then it says, and I will bring judgment with pestilence and bloodshed.
Mm.
I will rain down on him, on his troops,
and
on many peoples who are with him, flooding rain, great hailstorms, fire, and brimstone. Then he says in verse 23, thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, that they shall know that I am the Lord. Now, you are saying?
Now, what you were saying about God turning each man's sword against the other has actually happened before in the scripture. When in the days of Jehoshaphat, when three different nations, great nations, came to attack Judah by that time. And it was Mount Seir, Moab, and Ammon. They came to attack Israel. And as they went to battle, of course, the Lord instructed them to begin singing praises. And then at that time, Mount Seir, Moab, and Ammon, they started killing each other. And that was how each man's sword was turned against each other. Now, that's exactly one thing I see that it will be replicated in this very thing. When nations come, the Sunni Muslim nation come, the Shia Muslim nation come, maybe even including, let me say, Russia and all these other countries come together. Now, when they have come, then at that point, the difference clicks in. And it, because the Lord says, I will turn, that he will turn, that means at that time, their difference will be seen clearly. And that's when they will start slaughtering each other. And thus, the Lord will be magnified. Yes.
Then the third thing that it says will happen is in chapter 39 now, and I'll now start from the beginning of verse, although it's only in verse 3 that talks about what I want in this case. But it says, and you, son of man, prophesy against Gog, and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, and the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and I'll turn you around and lead you on, bringing you up from the far north, and in bringing you against the mountains of Israel. Of course, it has said that the same thing in the beginning of chapter 38. Then it says, now, verse 3, then I will knock the bow out of your left hand and cause the arrows to fall out of your right hand. Now, that is a wonderful description of what you'd call a preemptive attack.
Mm.
Because if somebody is using a bow and an arrow, as the Old Testament language is saying, and he has stretched you know, his bow, and he's trying to shoot an arrow.
Yes.
And then you come and knock the bow out of his hand.
Yes.
Now that means that he can no longer launch his arrow.
Yes.
Because he needs the bow.
Yes.
Now when these probably scuds, or even maybe even nuclear weapons, if Iran would have gotten them at the time.
Yes.
Are about to be launched. They're on the launcher.
Yes.
Which is the bow.
Yes.
And they're about to be shot as arrows into Israel. Then Israel comes and knocks the bow before the arrow, knocks the bow or the launchers before the missiles take off to come for them.
Yes.
So Israel is going to have to do a preemptive attack according to this scripture.
Yes.
And it will be so successful and will cause, which has happened also before.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes. Mm. Now, one of the thing I also see is them using their air defense system.
Mm.
That is to block that all these airstrikes that would come. And at that very time when they are blocking, using the air defense system to block, that's the time they are also launching and hitting targets, sources where these bombs are coming from, these rockets, bombs, and even drones coming from. That's one way I also see.
And of course, this Israel launching a preemptive strike has happened in the 1967 war.
Yes.
You remember, because all the countries around it had gathered against Israel, and Israel was prepared to go and defend itself.
Yes.
But they seem to be dilly-dallying, like they are doing now.
Yes.
Taking their time, and people are wondering, Israel knows this war is imminent.
Yes.
Why are they not moving out?
Yes.
And of course, statements had been made, and at that time there was even no propaganda. Things were being said in black and white. This is what we intend to do. The Egyptian president was announcing that we intend to wipe Israel off the face of the earth.
Yes.
We are going to drown them into the sea, and we are going to wash the sand with the blood of the Jews. You're seeing that openly, and so were also many of the Arab leaders. So, and Israel seemed to be taking its time at the time until they launched a preemptive strike on the Egyptian Air Force. So now here, something similar is going to happen when they launch. I will knock the bow out of your left hand and cause the arrows to fall out of your right. In other words, I will knock the launcher and then your missiles or whatever it is you are planning to shoot in our direction will fall out and will not be able to come. Mm. But then verse 4, it says, you shall fall upon the mountains of Israel, you and all your troops and the people who are with you. I will give you to birds of prey of every sort and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. You shall fall on the open field, for I have spoken, says the Lord God. And then he says, and I will send fire on Magog and those who live in security in the coastlands. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. So I will make my name known in the midst of my people Israel. And I will, now also, this is also for Israel, you know, because you see, somehow I think they have a lot of faith in their ability to defend themselves.
Yes.
And I think they have to get to a point of being vulnerable when they are being overwhelmed, left, right, and center.
Mm.
And now they really see that they are in imminent danger.
Mm.
That's why he says that then God comes through somehow, and then they see that maybe there was another hand on top of it. And he says, I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them profane my holy name anymore. Then the nations shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel.
Now, this is how the Lord is going to finish up all these nations which will have gathered and come against Israel. Because to the point that you said that Israel trusts so much, okay, of course we know it's still the Lord which has strengthened them. Because when we see right now, it's the fourth best army in the whole world. So they trust so much in their defense system, military might, and all these other things. But there has to be that point. And also, in the Battle of Armageddon, which is a war which is going to be fought in Israel before the second coming, the scripture says that it will reach a point when they have been driven out away, and they are, all their strength as they have exhausted but has not worked, and they have been driven out even over a third of the city. Has been taken off by the world and the nations which will have gathered. Now, this is exactly the same thing I see that you're saying, that one of the things which will happen is the hand of God, the clear outstretched arm of the Lord in this war, because they trust so much in their system, but God will ask to strengthen and show that His strength and His hand is in its in
now. War. If this be that war that we are talking about, the Gog and Magog,
yes,
and it turns out if it is, we know what the result is going to be.
Yes,
we've already told you three things are going to happen. First, an earthquake. Second, each man turns his sword against the other. In other words, the nations that come up against Israel somehow find something to divide them,
yes,
and now they start slaughtering themselves. And the third,
God knocking the bow,
bow out of the arrow, which is the preemptive strike by Israel.
Yes.
Then eventually, the nations are raised, and as the scripture says, their bodies are lying in the grasslands.
Yes.
And then he says, "For I have spoken it," says the Lord.
Yes.
Now that means it's final.
Yes.
And that means it's going to happen that way, regardless of whether you're studying with the Palestine or what. Anyhow, so now what happens after that? In line of Bible prophecy, what do you anticipate to happen after this war is sorted and now Israel has turned out on top and now it's coming from... First of all, there are two things before you answer that question. The first one is you said they bombed the airport in Damascus.
Yes.
Now, we know, of course, that there is that prophecy in Isaiah 17,
yes,
which says Damascus shall be destroyed and cease to be a city.
And
become a ruinous heap.
Yes.
So we're expecting that at the end of this, since Syria has completely joined with Iran and Russia and all that, we expect that this might be the time when finally that prophecy comes to pass and Damascus is destroyed as a city.
Mm. Now, one thing which I see is, as Bible students, we have been seeing that this is the sixth trumpet, which is Revelation chapter 9, and people have been calling it the Third World War. And looking back to the First World War, when an outcry of people, about 8 million, then they sat and formed the League of Nations, of a peacekeeping body, and their work is to reconcile and keep the world in peace. But of course, having their weaknesses, it led to the Second World War, which about 52 million people to 60 million people died. And that again, they formed a peacekeeping body, which was the United Nations organization. Now, in this very war, from what we see it being as the Third World War, we know that it's going to lead to a sitting down together. And that, of course, the scripture has spoken about it in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. And it says that, let me read Daniel chapter 9, verse...
As you prepare to read that,
yes,
there's something else I found interesting. And that is that so many of the Jewish scholars,
yes,
were saying that the attack... Remember, this is they believe the prophecies in the Old Testament.
Yes.
They were saying that the attack that will bring this war is going to come during the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, they have been saying that before.
Mm.
Now, this October 7th was the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles.
Yes.
And now, that they call it that great day of the feast. They call it the great day of the feast. And now, it's also in the Gospel of John chapter 7, I believe, where Jesus went to the feast, remember, of Tabernacles.
Yes.
And where it says, on that great day of the feast, on the final day of the feast, he stood and... Let me give you some context. Because when his brothers were telling him, "Are you also going to the feast? Don't you want to show yourself off?" And then he told them, "You go, for you every time is your time. For me, my time hasn't come."
Yes.
But somewhere in the midst there, he went into the feast and arrived there. Now, when he got there, people were searching out because they had only heard... That was the first time he was going into Jerusalem.
Yes.
But all the things he had been doing previously, he had been doing in Nazareth, in Galilee.
Yes.
And so the people in Jerusalem and all the Jewish world were hearing there is a certain prophet in
Galilee,
in Galilee who is doing all these things. They were hearing all the wonderful things.
Mm.
So they came all to the feast knowing that every Jew, according to the law of Moses, has to come to the feast.
Yes.
Or has to come to Jerusalem three times every year.
Yes.
And so they came there expecting him. Now, he came and was quiet somehow, incognito. It's only on the final day of the feast when he stood up and said,
John chapter 7, verse 37 says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.
Now, that is the same call today.
Yes.
Now, there's not been any better time for people to stand up and listen to what Jesus said that time.
Yes.
On that great day of the feast.
Yes.
Those who thirst should come to him.
Yes.
Those who are scared, those who are, because as Israel enters into this war and comes out of it, which if it is the Gog and Magog war, we know how they will come out. There's also going to be unleashed a great awakening.
Yes.
Among the spiritual Israel.
Yes.
Among the church.
Yes.
The kind of witch that Jesus was speaking about here. Come and, you know, all those who thirst.
Yes.
And he says, come unto me, because as it is written, rivers of, you know, living water will come out of your belly.
Yes.
So, now, this is the message to the church.
Yes.
Aside of what's happening in Israel and us tracking Bible prophecy and seeing whether it is true or not, there is a specific message to the church.
Yes.
And I think it is very, very clear. And now I'm looking around, and there's going to be an outbreak of the knowledge of God.
Yes.
Spoken of in Habakkuk.
Yes.
As I live, says the Lord, the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of his glory. That's what he says in Habakkuk. So there is going to be that sort of infilling.
Yes.
People understanding the knowledge of God from this. So now this is not just something happening in the natural.
Yes.
Wars, tanks, and all that, missiles, and all. There's something also happening in the realm of the spirit, which we have to be very, very cognizant of.
Yes.
So what do you see happens after all this? You had given us a background, First World War, Second World War, United Nations. Now, if this is indeed the beginning of a Third World War.
Uh-huh. Yes. Now, what will happen is all the nations will come together. But now the person who will be leading that gathering of all the nations, it will be the Antichrist himself. And the scripture says in Daniel 9:27, it says that, then he who is the Antichrist shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Now, here, of course, in 1 week, he's talking about weeks of years, which, of course, in a week, we know it has 7 days, which if we now include it in, it's 7 years. So they will, and he says, he will confirm with many nations, and all this is many nations and all these nations which will have come to fight with Israel and participated in this war. So they will come and gather and say that now we know that this war has happened, but now we have to have a ceasefire. We have to sit down together and we have to go for peace. So they will sit down. And when they sit down, then there will be a formulated agreement between the Jews and Palestine. And this agreement, it will be for this 1 week, which is 7 years. Then what will happen is Israel will then have now the liberty, because one of the biggest contention we have between Israel and Palestinians and Arabs, it's just because of the land which is in Israel, which is
the Temple Mount.
It's about 36 acres of land, which is the Temple Mount. They will now have liberty, because right now it's actually not under the hand and governance of Israel. It's actually the Jordanians are the one keeping Temple Mount and allowing either Jews or Muslims to enter it. So they will have that time to divide that Temple Mount. And when they divide the Temple Mount, then the Jews will have their part, and then the Palestinians will have their part, and then the nation of Palestine will be formed. Because that was also one of the things that has led into these skirmishes between the Jews and Palestinians, and what they see that as the cause. Because they will try to look for a way of solving the cause of all these problems. And one of the cause of this challenge is country of Palestine. And they'll solve it first, dividing the land, the Temple Mount, creating the nation of Palestine. And when they create the nation of Palestine, then Israel will be left with Jerusalem as their capital, and also that very small piece of land in the Temple Mount, which will be their part. And amazingly, that Temple Mount is a very important place, both to the Jews and also to the Palestinians, or let me say Muslims, because it carries different historical sites. One of it is Al-Aqsa Mosque to the Muslims. Muslim have the Dome of the Rock, but also the Jews, they have the place where they have built the temple, Solomon's temple, and that temple has been there in that very place. And that's why there's a lot of contention. Jews want it, want to take over it. The Muslim wants to take over it, but they will solve that problem at that very time. And when it is solved, then the Jews will now rebuild their temple.
So it's clear that the only way that the surrounding Arab countries agree to enter into any kind of agreement with Israel is after they have been thoroughly defeated, which is exactly what happened in 1967. For Egypt to get into an agreement with Israel after they had been crushed, and Israel gave them back, you know, a huge piece of land which they had taken away from Egypt, which they gave back to them in exchange for peace. Now, the only way, because so many attempts have been made to get these two people together to discuss, Israel has made so many
attempts
and even given up to what I would have felt was too much. And yet they put it on the table and said, okay, we are giving you this much, you sign. But in 1967, all these Arab countries came up with the three no's. That is no negotiation, no recognition,
no peace,
and no peace.
Yes.
And so they have been going by that. So the only as it is right now, the only agreement they would accept is Israel disappears, all Jews die, and they take over that land, and they have been talking about it, which of course is rubbish, absolute rubbish. Now, but what would force them to get into the temple for Daniel 9:27 to happen is after Israel has beaten them thoroughly, and now they are, you know, they are coming to their negotiation table from a place of humiliation, so to speak, then only then would they accept. But even then, they would get a number of concessions, even in their point of weakness. For instance, the Palestinian state and so on. And then the only contention would be, of course, Jerusalem. Because everyone wants Jerusalem. The devil wants Jerusalem. And that would be the big contention. But because nobody would want the kind of carnage that would have come out of all of this, they would agree that, okay, we'll give Israel Jerusalem for 7 years. And after 7 years, let's come back here and negotiate. That's what the scripture says. Now, after 3.5 years, and now that will be leading us into the Battle of Armageddon. Now, the Battle of Armageddon, Israel will still be saying, we are not giving up Jerusalem. The entirety of the world community will be saying, you are going to give up Jerusalem. And then they will come to fight for Jerusalem. And that is going to be the real thing that the entirety of the forces of darkness and the forces of light will be fighting against. And by the way, I don't want you to make any mistake. This has nothing to do with Israel and Arabs and so on. This is a spiritual battle. It's the devil who wants Jerusalem. He wants Jerusalem because God has declared it as his city. And the devil is going to make every attempt to try and get that. Even, by the way, even after, and I found this interesting, because even after the second coming of Jesus, and the devil has been tied and bound and put in the bottomless pit, after their 1,000 years in the bottomless pit, he will come out and gather a great number of people in an army, a big army, and he will go to fight for Jerusalem again. That's his final stand, Jerusalem. And now that's when he will be defeated finally, and will be cast into, you know,
lake of fire,
lake of fire, and so on. So, even after he has been away for 1,000 years, he will come back and still deceive so many nations, because some people just want to be deceived. So now I'm seeing the question is, how long does this war take? By the way, it's not supposed to take very long, according to Isaiah chapter 17. It says, in the evening, Israel will be in grave danger.
And, the morning.
And in the morning, they will have overcome. So it's not supposed to take very long, but it is going to be very bloody. In that, if it is the war we're talking about, we are seeing a minimum of 2.5 billion people. Because the scripture says 1/3 of mankind. Now, by going by the current population, which is just over 7 million, I think we are talking about 2.5 billion people. So it is going to be very bloody. Now, we end with the words of Jesus from John 7, verse 37. Read them again.
John chapter 7, verse 37 says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters.
Now, the thing is, that's a message to the church.
Yes.
There is a message to Israel we are reading from here, which is also, of course, to the church. But there is a specific message for the church.
Yes.
And that is, there has never been a time such as this.
Yes.
When now the final move of God is in full gear.
Yes.
And if you have been attached to some kind of born-again religion, and I know there are so many people who are like that. You entered into some church, you found things done in a certain way, and without even questioning yourself why they are done that way, you also start doing the same things. And then the next thing you realize, all churches across are doing the same thing. And like, there is a movement of God.
Yes.
And people who step out and actually start searching for God at this time will find him in a unique way.
Yes.
Because now the movement, the final movement, the the big end time harvest, which is also promised by scripture, begins now.
Yes.
Has been sort of in underway, but now I think enters full gear as it is right now.
Yes.
So now is the time to seek the Lord for powerful things, to seek the Lord not for small things, but for powerful things. And there is an urgency, there is a quickening for all people who set themselves out to pursue the will of God in this matter.
Yes. Now, you're speaking about the full grace of God poured out, because being that we are the last generation, now God saves the best for the last. And because of that, we should get to understand that we are the last generation. And because of that, God has poured out his full grace upon us to accomplish whatever thing he has called us to accomplish in this very time. And this is the time for like real great awakening, which God has designated for us end time believers. And one of the things is, most people find that they are not in tune with the time. They think that this is just maybe a war which is happening in Israel, very far away, and doesn't concern me. And yet, as you are a child of God, and you are a spiritual Israel, the way the scripture says, you are the Israel of God. Now, everything that happens to Israel is connected to us.
Actually, if you look back, if you look at the past, when you see the things that have happened to Israel, especially those that have been good, for instance, in 1948, when they became a state, that was the when there was the greatest healing movement of God, tremendous healing movement of God, which started in that year, and brought up so many powerful, healing evangelists, people like Smith Wigglesworth, much later Kenneth Hagin, and what's he called, Oral Roberts, and so many of the others. Some of them
later,
came a bit later, but it all sprung around that time. And that healing movement continued all the way up to then there were the prophetic movement of the Kansas City prophets and so on. So there is a lot of things that happen. If you look at the church and in correlation to Israel, there are so many things that when something happens in Israel that is good, something good, very good, happens to the church as well. But I want you to know that when we're in the peak of COVID and during the despondency, everybody locked in their houses, people baking in their houses and so on, and all the stupidity that was inflicted upon the world by the devil and his servants. Now, this scripture came alive to me. And it said that, arise and shine, for your light has come. And then it says, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And I was led to read the scripture at that time. Of course, so many people know it. And then it says, behold, darkness shall cover the earth.
Yes.
And deep darkness the people. Now, I want you to know that this was actually that moment. Darkness covering the earth and deep darkness the people. Everybody locked up in fear and, with no freedom. You cannot move. You're a curfew as if you're a child. And like there was a lot of stupidity. And it used to really, really bother me. And says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. Then says, but the Lord will rise over you. Yes. Now talking about his children.
Yes.
And his glory will be seen upon you.
Yes.
Okay? Now, the darkness part, we have sort of gone past it. Now it's saying, But the Lord will rise over us.
Yes.
Over us. Now, that is actually over Israel and over the church.
Yes. Yeah?
And his glory shall be seen upon you.
Yes.
Then he says, the Gentiles shall come to your light and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Now, that is extremely important because now, also for Israel, he says, now this is for specific for Israel, he says, lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Now, there are so many, after Israel has been through with this war,
yes,
there are so many Jews who have been stuck in so many other countries who know that those countries do not wish them well.
Yes.
Because you see, they have kind of held this thing of, you know, they are the ones who are, now they will know. Because after all the demonstrations against, you know, Israel.
Yes.
All over the world.
Yes.
If you're a Jewish person, even in America, and you see how the people of America have all turned against the Jews, you realize that this is not a country where I'm, you know, something comes to you.
Yes.
But then, of course, you are there and you've been there for a long time and then you can't leave right now. However, when the war is over and Israel comes out on top, many of these people are going to be coming and returning to Israel. So that is a very, very important part of all this. Remember, darkness covered the earth, deep darkness the entirety of the earth, but the glory of the Lord is rising upon us. So I want you to rise and shine, because now is the time when the glory of the Lord is coming upon us as a church.
Amen.
And we are going to do great exploits. This is the time spoken about in the book of Daniel. Those who know the Lord will do great exploits. So prepare for great exploits. Great, great exploits. I think we are coming to the end of this program. Thank you so much for joining us. You have a final word for us?
It's our time. And each and every single one of us listening right now, just seek the Lord. And by seeking the Lord, I mean in pursuit of that which the Lord has given you, that which you feel the Lord is leading you. Take on that and pursue it, and the Lord will arise over you, and the glory of the Lord will be seen over you.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us here on The Watchman. Have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful rest of the day.
That was The Watchman. Tune in next week. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555, or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.